Welcome to Caregiver SOS On Air, presented by the WellMed Charitable Foundation, with nationally known gerontologist Carol Zerniel and award-winning veteran broadcaster Ron Aaron. This program provides health, wellness, and other information for caregivers who are vital to the health and well-being of so many people across our country. And now, here are your hosts, Ron Aaron and Carol Zerniel.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today on Caregiver SOS On Air. I'm Ron Aaron, along with our co-host, Peaches Hall. Peaches filling in today for Carol Zerniel, who is on special assignment. Peaches is the administrator at the Doris Griffin Senior Center in San Antonio. She's been there for 10-plus years. Prior to that, she managed a memory care center, and also in her other life is an antique curator, finder, seller, and you name it, she does it. Peaches, today this topic really fits into exactly what you used to do, the impact, as you talk about it, of a partner diagnosed with MCI, mild cognitive impairment. What in the world should we do?
You know, I say that you find as many friends as you can for support. I think that's your very first step. And it's for emotional support, and sometimes not emotional, just physical, that you will need help. And it's nice to know that there's going to be somebody there that can give you a break, because the mild cognitive is not going to stay mild. It's going to increase. And so we see that when we bring people into live in an assisted living memory care community, they will wait until there is a fall or something that happens that makes the family think they need to place mom or dad or their loved one. And then they get a little bit better and they say, well, they're just not ready to go yet. And so I say, you know, make sure that they're able to make that transition, and that transition to go to a place that's going to give them the support and let the loved one actually get some rest is very important. And sometimes you can wait too long.
Well, we're delighted to welcome our special guest today to talk about this subject. Linda Fodrini-Johnson is a pioneer in developing programs for individuals with Alzheimer's dementia. She provides and delivers lectures, workshops, and training for a number of professional groups, community agencies, and volunteer groups on a variety of subjects related to aging, dementia, and caregiver stress. Linda created a day-long educational class called The Family Circus, Walking the Tightrope of Elder Care and Aging. And she has delivered that in a variety of places. She also created a dementia series to empower family members, offered free many times a year. And she's the author of a book, The Empowered Caregiver, Practical Advice and Emotional Support. And she hangs out in Lafayette, California. Hey, Linda, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
What got you involved in this topic? Was it a family member with dementia?
Not really. I have 40 years experience as a geriatric care manager, and I ran the very first Alzheimer respite program in the San Francisco Bay Area. Been around for a long time. And so I've worked with a lot of families and a lot of people with dementia. But this topic of MCI, mild cognitive impairment, is probably the most underdiagnosed issue of aging right now. The baby boomer is hitting this time of life. And so I decided I needed to come up with something for these families that was different from all the other work I've done the past 40 years.
I love walking a tightrope.
Go ahead.
I love walking a tightrope because that's what it feels, except for without a net.
Without a net or a map.
That's right.
It's really hard. But this MCI diagnosis, or mild cognitive impairment, it is a diagnosis that I can do as a licensed therapist. It just takes one little test, and the test shows that there's problems with short-term memory, and everything else is doing okay for that person. They haven't started down that slippery slope we call Alzheimer's disease or other dementias. It's just the very beginning, and the reason why I jumped into this and wanted to design some classes more specific for these couples, mind you, is because they need to take some action sooner, kind of like what Peaches was talking about, and not later, if the disease is going to progress. And the if, I want to get to that if, and I want you guys to interrupt me at any point, because I could just chat. The if is only 50% of the people that get diagnosed with MCI progress to an Alzheimer-like dementia. The other 50% just stay at that problem with short-term memory that should give us all a little bit of hope when we forget something. We're not necessarily sliding down that slope.
Boy, that happens to me every time when I say, hey, where did I put my keys? Uh-oh, this is it. Get my wife. It's all over.
Ron, I'm so glad you said that. Because then just think about what happens when you go to the doctor. He gives you a test and says you have mild cognitive impairment. You could be very depressed, and so can your spouse. You could be so depressed that you don't want to do anything. You don't want to plan anything. And I don't want people to get stuck there, because life is about enjoying the moments. We might not have, 20 years ahead of us. We might only have 10. But why not make every day and every year the best we can? And stress is going to affect our health.
All right, hold that thought. I'm going to come right back to you. For those of you who just joined us, I want to let you know you're listening to Caregiver SOS on air. I'm Ron Aaron, along with our co-host today, filling in for Carol Zernial, is Peaches Hall. Peaches has enormous experience managing and running a memory center in addition to her current work managing a senior center here in San Antonio. Our guest, Linda Fedrini-Johnson, and we're talking about when your partner is diagnosed with MCI, mild cognitive impairment, what should we do? I had my annual doctor's appointment the other day, Linda, and they said, we're going to give you a little quick memory test. And of course, they ran through it and they started with, here's three words, remember it, and we'll get back to it. And wouldn't you know, they come back and say, what were those three words? And I could only remember two until the nurse walked out of the room and I remembered the third. They were daughter heaven mountain. And I yelled out, mountain, mountain, that was the third.
or what happens is they give you those three and you're so busy trying to remember them that you're not listening to the conversation because you're just thinking about those.
Exactly. The hardest part was draw the face of a clock, which I'm able to do.
That's a real simple test. The test that we mostly use for this MCI is called MoCA, the Montreal Cognitive Assessment. But I want to get back to that, Ron. That not remembering the third word, we call that, I also teach a class in memory enhancement, retrieval. The older we are, the more things we put in these brains, right? So it takes a long time to retrieve things.
Yeah, my cabinet's full.
Yeah, you're not alone. There are many, many of us listening and on this call that also feel our cabinets are full. But what I'm going to go back to MCI. Your spouse has just been diagnosed. You're feeling kind of depressed. You think you or your spouse has Alzheimer's disease. That's not the case yet until it progresses to you're having trouble with something else in your daily life. You're not being able to do your meds, you're missing appointments, you're getting confused, you're paranoid, something else happens. And it might be years before that something else happens. So what we want to do is look at what's going to make a healthy brain, what could reverse a diagnosis like MCI, and let's do it together. And then there's some practical things as well, is it's time to go see the attorney and talk to the attorney about, I've got this diagnosis, should I amend my legal documents any way differently than they already are? And most of the time that is yes. But let's go back to the healthy brain. You've just got the diagnosis. And the doctor says, come back and see me in 6 months or a year. And that's all he tells you. He doesn't give you a lot of, he or she doesn't give you a lot of direction. And that's why I developed these classes, because they're based on information coming out of Stanford, UCSF, and other medical institutions around the country. Number one, you change your diet. You go on a Mediterranean diet, and you could look that up, but it's like less beef for sure, chicken, fish, and again, limited quantities. And one of the things that's really important and doesn't stand out but is important for brains is healthy fats, avocados, walnuts, olive oil, and they get into your diet with every meal if possible. So we got diet, then exercise, 30 minutes a day. try for 30 minutes a day. If you can't do that, start with 15. And the well spouse and the spouse with the diagnosis can do that together. And then social engagement. As Peaches is involved in a senior center, there's very active senior centers all over the country. Get engaged, go to lectures, join clubs, play games, try to get there, socialize at least 4 to 5 times a week.
Why? What does that do for you?
It stimulates your brain. You have to think to have a conversation, right? You listen to a lecture, you're igniting more little brain cells, and you're going to park them away unless you're going to use them. And then if you're in at a senior center, you could take a class and learn to play a game you've never played before, or something that's new. You learn how to use these little cell phones better than most of us know how to use them. These are computers we carry around with us. So you're exercising your brain like your body when you're socializing. Socialization and not being isolated could add 4 to 5 years to your life. That's a long time.
And how do we know that?
Well, by research. Actually, there's lots of research out there. And you know, if you want me to cite it, I could cite it and send you guys the connections to that. But I've researched it, and it's all coming from credible universities that do this kind of research, and the Buck Institute that does a lot of research on aging. And the other thing that just came out, Ron, that made me so happy, because I've spent 40 years with lots of older adults, is the AMA, American Medical Association, came out with some recent research that says those of us that look forward to aging as a positive time in our life, hopefully the three of us do, that it's time for new relationships, do new things, just stay involved, kids, family, grandchildren. We look forward to that no matter the sad things that do happen to us on the aging path. And those people actually can turn around that MCI diagnosis because they're positive thinkers. And even the people that have the APOE gene for Alzheimer's can turn that around just with positive thoughts. So if you're not thinking positive about aging, get engaged in it. Do meditations, do mindfulness. That's another part of the healthy brain. And start doing self-talk that's positive. So we've got exercise, we've got diet, we've got social engagement, we've got how we think about aging. And the another important component, and the newest research says sleep is extremely important to brain health. One night of tossing and not sleeping well actually causes those little plaques to develop in your brain. So if you're not sleeping, you want to work on that, so you don't go down that slippery path.
And so, what in terms of sleeping, when I was a kid growing up, it was 7 to 8 hours every night. That's what you need. Is that still true?
That's still true. And actually, more than 9 hours is bad. Less than 7 hours is bad. So we got this window to get those REM sleeping times. That's when we take memory from today and put it into long-term memory, or at least in memory, for tomorrow. So we need that sleep. So all of this is really important for couples. It's a changing of lifestyles. That when you get this MCI diagnosis, if you don't want to go to that Alzheimer path, by changing these daily lifestyle things that all of us do, and adding to them and taking some bad things out of them, and being more engaged, and especially with diet. Diet is really important to the brain, the body as well. But, you know, paying attention to all of those things are going to reduce the percent of the people with MCI going down that slippery slope, as Peaches was saying, and needing to have full-time care. And that's a whole other story. You're right, Peaches, about...
Yes.
That caregivers are burning out, they're having the heart attacks and strokes before their family member with dementia.
I'm curious, why is 9 hours or more not good for you?
I guess because you're not activating your brain. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen exactly why they said it's not good for you, but they said it's too much sleep.
I want to find out more about that in a moment. You're listening to Caregiver SOS on Air. I'm Ron Aaron, along with our special guest, Linda Fedrini-Johnson, and sitting in for Carol Zernial today is Peaches Hall. This is Caregiver SOS on Air. Well, thank you so much for listening to Caregiver SOS on Air. We're delighted to have you with us. We come to you every week with a discussion of an issue, a problem, some accomplishments involved in caregiving with more than 60 million caregivers across this country, but most thinking they are the Lone Rangers. We try to bring you the latest information and help that can make that job easier and more manageable. Caregiver SOS on Air takes a look at trends across this country. We provide tips on how to be a better caregiver, and most importantly, where you can go for help. On Caregiver SOS on Air, we try to give you what you need to make that caregiving manageable and to provide you with the help that can make your life easier. I'm Ron Aaron. Carol Zernial and I are delighted to co-host this program, and we're thrilled you've joined us on the award-winning Caregiver SOS on Air podcast, available everywhere, brought to you by WellMed Charitable Foundation. Hello, friend. Well, thank you so much for sticking with us on the award-winning Caregiver SOS on Air. I'm Ron Aaron, along with our co-host Peaches Hall, who is filling in today for Carol Zernial, who is on special assignment. Our guest today is Linda Fedrini-Johnson. She is an expert on dealing with the kinds of issues we're talking about today, mild cognitive disorder, and a whole lot more. Her book, The Empowered Caregiver, Practical Advice and Emotional Support. And Linda, that book available via Amazon?
Yep, that's where you can get it.
Let's go back to what we were talking about when we come to MCI. You run a support group where many of the caregivers who attend that support group already caring for someone who may already have dementia or Alzheimer's-related dementia, and a few with MCI. Do you recommend that where a spouse or a caregiver is faced with MCI in their family, should they go to a support group?
Yes, indeed, because even if you're not there yet, and no one knows what there means, and maybe you have decided that I'll take care of my family member until X happens. They can't drive anymore, they can't shower anymore, whatever you think. When you come to a support group and you hear what other people are dealing with, you're usually going to hear, I wished I had taken care of myself sooner. I wished I had gotten my spouse or yeah, usually it's a spouse, sometimes it's a parent, but I wish I had gotten my husband or my wife into that daycare program, because daycare programs for people with MCI or dementia are really good transition to they need more care, whether it's assisted living or memory care. You know, it's a good first step of socialization with other people that are going through this challenging time in life.
You know, it's interesting because, and Peach has worked in that field in memory care. Those are great programs, but they're so expensive. Most folks don't have long-term care insurance. And even if they have it, it doesn't cover everything. And when you don't have insurance, those programs are out of reach.
They are out of reach. Now, some of the daycare programs, the one I started many years ago, like 40 years ago, it was like $10 a session for 2 to 3 hours. So we do have some in our community, and I know they're throughout the country because the Aging Life Care Association, I'm past president of that, connecting geriatric care managers throughout the country, but usually can find you a small day program. It might only be a couple of hours. And if you're on Medicaid, there are some in my area, there are some programs that give you like 6 hours of respite using Medicaid. So make sure you either call the Area on Aging or find a geriatric care manager to find those little programs, Ron, because you're right. Memory care can cost, if it's 24/7 care, it could cost $10,000 a month and sometimes up around the country. So it's very expensive.
That's the Area Agency on Aging, which are available in every community across the country.
Yes. Yes, that's where I did my internship way back when.
We were talking earlier about what got you 40 years ago into this field, a field in which you're still involved, and you obviously enjoy what you're doing.
I love it. I saw my parents struggling with their parents. All of them were failing at the same time. I had three younger brothers, wild teenagers. I was a young adult, married young and starting my own family. And my parents were just losing it with all of what they were doing. So I went back to school when my kids were little and I wanted to do something in this field. I thought it was social work, which I have a degree in counseling, long story on that. But and then I'm certified as geriatric care manager. So I had to take classes in aging along with the psychology. So that's what got me into it, Ron, actually seeing my family going up in smoke, taking care of three aged family members at the same time. It was
and
really
in your
hard.
Book, The Empowered Caregiver, Practical Advice and Emotional Support, what will we find in that book?
Well, you'll find the do's and don'ts on taking care of an aging family member. It could be your spouse, but it was written for adult children. However, when my husband died suddenly and my kids were telling each other what I should do, one of the kids told the other kid to read page 7. That's where I say, don't tell your parent what they should do. Tell your parent what you're concerned about. So at least my book helped me at a hard time. So I'm glad I wrote it.
Yeah, that's great advice. Ask your parent.
You say to your parent, I'm really worried, Mom. You've lost a lot of weight recently. I'm really concerned, Dad, because these bills are piling up and you used to be so good about taking them off the dining room table or whatever. Instead of, you need to get a bookkeeper or you need to move to assisted living, you're losing weight. That gets resistance.
Of course.
Yeah. Hey, Ron and Peaches, can I go back to working with the spouses when you have this new diagnosis?
Yeah, absolutely.
Great. Because one of the things I found as a widow is all the things my husband didn't share with me, not just passwords, but how to use the sprinkler system. And there are so many things. The bookkeeping that is done in a marriage, one of the two usually pays all the household bills and maybe one does the taxes. That's how it was in my family. So what I'm finding is that when I do these classes, I do a series of just 3 weeks for spouses, that so often all of them are shaking their head. Yeah, I have no idea about bill paying, or I have no idea to how to maintain the house. And he takes care of that. She takes care of this. This is the time when you have to share all that. We don't know if you're going to go down the slippery slope, but let's start sharing all that information now.
Before the memory's gone.
Before the memory's gone. Like I didn't know the combination to the safe. You know, I didn't. So I had to get a safe cracker to get in my safe. So there's so many little details that you need to think about, but this is a great time and it's doesn't happen to all couples. And one of the couples in my last class called me because her husband, who has he's more in the early stage of dementia than MCI, got scammed, gave all of his information to somebody that called when she was out. Social security numbers, bank numbers, credit card numbers, because he was told one of his accounts was compromised and the whole thing was a scam. And so far, as of today, they've only lost $4,000. But we don't know where that's going to end up.
Wow.
With all the information he gave. So
that's scary.
That's very scary. So
that's really so prevalent. I'm a National Guardian. So many of the people that I cared for, my wards, they had lost everything. I mean, completely everything by the time that they were turned over to me. They were penniless and had lots of money.
Yep. Yep. I had one of those too, Phyllis, in my career. More than one, actually.
All right. We got about 30 seconds left. Linda, final words.
Final words. If your spouse is diagnosed with MCI, get some guidance as soon as you can. Make lifestyle changes and find joy in every day. not focus on just the diagnosis, focus on living life fully. Find that awe in every day.
Wow, that's perfect. Thank you so much. You're a great guest and great information. Linda Fodrini-Johnson talking about when your spouse or whomever diagnosed with mild cognitive impairment. For our co-host today, Peaches Hall, I'm Ron Aaron. Thanks for joining us on the award-winning Caregiver SOS On Air. Executive producers for Caregiver SOS On Air are Carol Zernial and Ron Aaron. Our associate producer is Christy Romero. I'm Ron Aaron. We'll see you next week on Caregiver SOS On Air.
You've been listening to Caregiver SOS On Air, an exclusive presentation of the WellMed Charitable Foundation. We welcome emails with suggestions and comments on this program at radio@wellmed.net. Join co-hosts Carol Zernial and Ron Aaron next week for more on caregiving, improving the health and well-being of caregivers and their care recipients everywhere. For more on caregiving and podcasts of our programs, visit caregiversos.org.